about age 10, I believe, down. Y'all take your Bibles, please, and I've got two of them here. I'm trying to decide which one to use. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians in the New Testament. Chapter number 3 goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Book of Colossians is a book for this day and age. It gives us sound doctrine for this day and age. And I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, things that are eternal. Things that are eternal. Colossians chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And I'll stop reading right there. But I'd like for you to pay special attention to verse number 1 through 4 there. And I'll try to talk to you this morning for a few minutes on things that are eternal. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pray to you to help us this morning. Pray that you'd bless your people, and may the words of God be quick and powerful to us, Lord, as they are to you. And I pray, God, that you would apply these things to our heart. Pray that the Spirit of God would help me, lead us and guide us into all truth. We will thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Things that are eternal. You'll notice in these verses here, and before I start that, let me say a few words to you folks. Jesus Christ died so that you could have a place that is eternal. He died a substitutionary death on the cross so that your sins could be on him and not on you. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, the Bible says you are still in your sins. And if you die in your sins, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we could have a home. We don't deserve it. Man, I don't deserve nothing. I don't deserve anything. I deserve to go to hell. I mean, even for the things that I've done in the last 47 years since I got saved. I got saved 47 years ago in June. And even the things that I've done, maybe the things I've done this morning, I deserve hell for that. You see, I don't deserve anything. But brother, there's a lot of blessings. I like Brother Butler sometimes gives word of testimony talking about things, and there's a lot of blessings in the Christian life after you get saved. And brother, a home in heaven, that's out in the future. But you want to be sure and keep your eyes on it. I asked Brother Butler to sing this morning as the last song. There's a sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. The sweet by and by. Well, we live in the nasty now and now, but we're going to the sweet by and by. And there's a lot of blessings down here today. But you want to keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ, you see. If you're not saved today, please get saved. Come and accept Christ as your Savior. Come and let me talk with you. Let me explain a few things to you. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He showed us his love on the cross. That's where God's love is shown to us. If you want to ever know that, wonder if God loves you. Does God know me? Does God love me? Look at the cross. Jesus Christ came and died for you. He didn't come to give you $1 million. He didn't come to give you a nice, cushy life. You may have one. If you do, that's just a bonus. If you don't have a lot of problems in your life, but most people do, we have heartaches, troubles, trials, and tribulations. He's here to help us through those things. But one day you're not going to have any of those problems, you see. But Jesus Christ came to take us out of this evil world. That's what the Bible says about this world. And if you ever wondered, does God know me? Does God know who I am? Does God love me? Has God done anything for me? Just think about the cross. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, he knows you, and he's done something for you. He gave his life for you, something that probably even your best friend wouldn't do. He gave his life on the cross that you might have everlasting, eternal life and live with him forever, forever. So therefore, if he gave his life so that we could come and live with him forever, then my subject this morning, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Isn't that what he says? Let's look at it in verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ. You know, now let me stop there. If you then be risen with Christ. See, whenever you got saved, whenever it was back there, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, God spiritually raised you from the dead. You were dead in trespasses and in sins. If you don't know it, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 and look at it. And it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You are spiritually dead, and he raised you from the dead spiritually, and he joined you to the spiritual body of his Son, Jesus Christ. And you are now in Christ, and he is in you. And you're both in God. Now, if that's not eternal security, I don't know what is. You see? If you then be risen with Christ, see, you've been raised from the dead spiritually. You're not spiritually blind anymore. You're not spiritually dead anymore. You're in Christ. What a deal. I wouldn't want to pass up a deal like that. Verse number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, that is, if you are saved, if you have been born again, if you're part of Jesus Christ, the next word says, seek. Seek those things which are above. Brother, everything that a Christian loves is supposed to be above. We're not supposed to look. What's down here on the ground? Dirt. And what's under the dirt is the grave. You see, who loves that? No, your body's going to go there, but your soul and spirit's going to go up. Seek those things which are above. See? Let me see if I can say this in the right way. That's one reason why I don't dress down when I come up here. And I do not advocate anyone else. I'm not here to try to get people to dress down any more than they already are. See? No, why? Because, brother, a Christian needs to look up. We need to lift our sights up. Everything that we love is up. Stay up, you see. Keep your sights up because what we love is up there. Where we're going is up there. We're not going to go down there except a dead body. You're going to go up there to be with the Lord forever. That's where we're going to live forever. So we need to be set our affection up on those things there, see. Verse number 1 again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. See, that's where Jesus Christ is. I mean physically. See, now by his Spirit, Jesus Christ is here. See, he lives in you if you're saved this morning. He lives inside of your heart. That's where he lives spiritually. In a spiritual sense, he's in every saved person. Christ dwells in the heart of the saved person. That means he's with you every moment, every second. He is as near as your breath. That's where he's at. Just touch your breath and he's that close to you. He knows everything. He goes everywhere that you go because he's inside of you. He's inside of your body, you see. So he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where he's at. He's sitting. He is seated at the right hand of God. One of these days, he's going to come back down here. You see. Amen? Y'all getting it? I was just hoping I could preach a little bit this morning. Because sometimes you get up here, man, and you feel like you're in a fog. Like, where am I? What am I supposed to say next? I don't like that. I don't like that. Look at your verse again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now notice verse number 2, the next word, set. See, first he says, seek those things which are above. Here, set your affection. Your affection, that's what you love. We are supposed to love those things up there. We sing about it. We come to church and we will forever sing hymns. We will never bring in the other kind of stuff. We're here together as Christians singing about the things of God. You see, and so we want to seek those, set our affection up there on the things up there in heaven. One of these days, we can't see them now, but one of these days we will see them. We will see them. They'll be just as real to you as that pew that you're sitting upon, you see. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Not on things on the earth. Things. That's what's down here, see. We're filled with things, material things. Let me give you an illustration. People are consumed with things. And don't get me wrong, I am too. We all have things. I've got things, man. I've got all kinds of things. You take, for instance, when I need a tool, Brother Yazzie, to do something with, I have got tools for everything. My problem is I just don't know where they are. Because I've got tools in the garage. I've got tools in the pickup. I've got tools in the house. I've got tools in the shop. I've got tools out in the barn. Man, I've got tools everywhere, but I just don't know where they are. So most of the time, it takes me a long time to find them. But see, people are consumed sometimes with things. They spend all their time thinking and talking and working and spending money on pet projects. You see, maybe it's their hobby. They have clubs and all kinds of things like, you know, not just a day or two ago. I think maybe it's yesterday. I don't know. They had a car show. And like cars, see, people are consumed. I've heard it said that America has a fascination or a love affair, that's what they say, with cars. Well, I like cars. I like cars. You know, and they have these car shows, man. Somebody got a 55 Chevy. That may not mean, unless you're old like me, that won't mean anything to you. 55 Chevy, 56 Chevy, 57 Chevy, 58 Chevy, 59, 60. See, I know all about those things because I used to have them. I used to drive them, man. And I love those things. I love the way they sound. And you know, you open up the hood, there's nothing there except a motor. That's all it is. There's no air conditioner. There's not a pile of other stuff all over the car. And you could work on them yourself. You just open up the hood and there's a motor there with a generator sitting there. And inside there's a 3-speed on the column and a clutch and all that kind of stuff, you know. Y'all getting this? Amen. Hey man, y'all awake? Well, come on, smile at me. Amen. See, people have a love affair with things, you know, and sometimes it's cars, and sometimes their whole life is over these things. You know, it's a piece of metal, and as I said, I like these. We like to drive them, but you know what? I'm not going to be consumed with these things. I was thinking about Corvette. Corvettes. Anybody like Corvettes? I don't want a Corvette. You say, well, it'll go 160 miles an hour. Man, I just keep me out of it then. I don't want to go 160 miles an hour. Where can you go 160 miles an hour? I don't want to go anywhere 160 miles an hour, man. I've already done that, been there. I don't want to do it anymore, see. So it's not practical anyway. My wife and I, we'd both have a problem getting into it, see, and getting out, that'd be the big problem. You see, it's just a piece of metal. I'm not going to be consumed by these things. Other people, you know, they're consumed with things like the military or motorcycle or politics or sports or gangs, all these things. Listen to me, folks. They're all going to vanish away. They're all going to vanish away. Don't be consumed by them. Just use them for what you need. Just use them for what they need. Let me tell you something. The junkyards can't get big enough for all these things. The junkyards can't get big enough to hold all of the junk that we produce. Don't get consumed by these kinds of things. Just use it for whatever you need. See, if, my third point, if we're going to be consumed by something, why not make it something that is eternal instead of something that is temporal? Because I'll tell you something, folks, eternity is a lot longer than this life. I'm 71 years old. How much longer do I have? Do I have 5 years? Do I have 10 years? My dad died when he was like 2 months, being 92 years old. You see, so time is getting short. How long are you going to live? You don't know. If you're 45 years old today, folks, you're not a spring chicken anymore. If you're 55, 60 years old, you're not a spring chicken anymore. You better set your affection on things above. If you're young here today, listen to me. Time is going to pass fast. You're going to blink your eyes and you're going to be married. You're going to blink your eyes and you're going to have children. You're going to blink them again and you're going to have grandchildren. And on it goes, you see. Time will pass fast, so therefore, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, you see. Set your affection on things that will last for an eternity, not just 5 years, not just 10 years, or even 20 years, or whatever it might be. The things that will last that are eternal are up there, and that's where we're going. That's where saved people go whenever you die. That's where you're going. You're going to close your eyes in death and immediately be with the Lord. It's not a long trip. It's not a long trip in God's economy, you see. Look at your Bible. Verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse number 3. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now see, look at that. That means one day that Jesus Christ will appear on this earth. He will appear in the air first to take up those who are saved. That is called the rapture, the catching away. One day soon, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17, for the Lord himself, listen carefully, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's those people out there that are in the grave. Their bodies are in the grave. They've died, but they were saved. The dead in Christ, their bodies are going to come up out of the grave. And they're going to meet their soul and spirit up in the air. And then he talks to you and to me, if you're alive then. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will be there with those things that are eternal and not down here where the things are just temporal. You see, verse number 4 again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. I can give you a lot of verses. If you don't know this, I think we might better look up one. Turn to the right there to 2 Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. All right, look in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. Look, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. See, there's that word appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Here he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, you see. I could give you others. Yes, he will appear just like this. In a moment, the Bible says, in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, he's going to come just like that. He's going to call us up. He's going to say, come up hither, and up you go. If you're not saved, you'll be left. You'll be left here. So you want to get saved, so when he calls us up, up you go. Up you go. Out of this world. I mean, out of this world. Out of this atmosphere. Look at verse number 4, Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know where you're going? Immediately, when he calls us up, you will immediately be there. You will get a brand new body on the way up, but it will be so fast that you will not have time to straighten up anything. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that's when it will be. We will immediately be right there with him in glory. The Bible says there are three heavens. There's one out here. You go out the door, that's the first heaven. That's where the birds fly. That's where the clouds are. That's the first heaven. You go up where the sun, the moon, and the stars are, the atmosphere, space up there, that's the second heaven. But you go way out above that. You go way on out past this way. You go way on out past the North Star up there. That's where God dwells. That's heaven up there. Past the North Star. Looking for that blessed hope in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Turn in your Bibles, please, from Colossians. Go over to the left there. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just read for you a few more verses here. Then we're going to turn back to 2 Corinthians. Look in your Bibles where you're at. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5. It says, see, since we are to set our affection on things above, then he says, while we're here in verse number 5, then therefore mortify, therefore your members which are on earth. Look up here for a minute. To mortify something, that comes from the word mortuary. Put something to death. Mortify your members which are upon earth. That's your hands, your feet, your body. You don't use those things for the wrong things. You don't use the members of your body for the wrong kinds of things. Put them to death and use them for God. Put them to death as far as your own desires go. All right? Mortify. Mortify. Look in verse number 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, then he gives us a list of things that should not be found in a Christian's life. Look, folks, whenever you get saved, you're a child of God. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different from this world. We're not to follow the spirit, an evil spirit. He says in verse number 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. All of these things are unholy desires. We're not to follow those things. We're not to follow unholy desires. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. In other words, you do not set up, we say, well, I don't have any idols around my house. I don't bow down to any idols in my house. He's not talking about that. He's talking about setting up one in your heart. Don't set up an idol in your heart. You're supposed to love God first. And these things that we're talking about on earth, you're not supposed to love those things more than you love God. Verse number 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. In other words, that's what you used to do in verse number 7. But now, see, verse number 8, but now since you're saved, but now since you're a child of God, but now since the Spirit of God lives inside of you, but now since God has said, be the salt of the earth, but now, see, verse number 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger. Anybody got a problem with that? Anger? Whoop, I'll punch myself. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. And he goes on, lie not one to another, see. You see, those are things that since we are a child of God, see. Look, let me just give you a few more verses here. Turn from your page there in Colossians. Go back to the left to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 18. I believe that'd be the last verse in, I'm telling you wrong. I think I must have wrote that down wrong. It's chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18, back to the left from where you were there, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Well, we do look at the things which are seen, but we're not supposed to love those things. And he goes on to say, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, that's what we're talking about here. The things which are not seen, they're up there. That's where we are to set our affection. For the things, last part of verse number 18, for the things which are seen are temporal. See, that's my point. They're just temporal. They don't last forever. They last a while. So don't love those things. Don't set your affection on the things that are just going to last for a while. The last part of that phrase says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are to set our affection on things above that are eternal. People hear the gospel. They hear the gospel. They understand it. They don't want to go to hell. So therefore, they get saved. But many times, between the time we get saved over here and the time we die over here, in between that time, we don't really care a whole lot about the things of God. See, people want to be blessed, but they're not willing to live for the Lord. They're not willing to give up a whole bunch of things. So, see, if God wants them to, they're not willing to give up some time. They're not willing to give up any finances, all those kind of things. You see, the things which we cannot see, they just don't seem to be all that important right now. We're going to go up there to heaven. It's a place called eternity. I want to show you another verse. You don't need to hold your place there, I don't think. But turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, this is where you're going. You're going up to a place called eternity. Isaiah chapter number 57, and look at verse number 15. Isaiah chapter 57. Where is eternity? I told you a while ago, heaven is up there. Well, that's where eternity is up there also. Eternity. Isaiah chapter number 57 and verse number 15. Look what it says. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Let me stop right for just a minute. The high and lofty one, you know who that'd be? That'd be God. The Bible says he inhabits eternity. Did you know that is the only place in the Bible where the word eternity is used? Now, the word eternal is used many times, but the word eternity. You know what's up there? You know what's way up there past the North Star up in the third heaven? That's a place called eternity. That's where God lives. And that's where you're going to go. That's where you saved people are going to go. And you people that are not saved, you need to get saved so you can go to eternity. You see? So he says in verse 15, Isaiah 57, 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one. That's God. That's God. He's the high and lofty one. He's not like a chicken scratching around in the dirt down here. I've got five chickens. You know what they do all day long? I mean all day long, they scratch in the dirt. They never get tired. They scratch in the dirt all the time. I guess if there was sunlight out there for 24, they would scratch in the dirt. That's what they do. Man, let's don't be like chickens. Let's set our sights up. Let's look up. Look up. Verse number 15, Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That's his habitation. That's where he lives. He lives in eternity, in the third heaven. Whose name is holy. That's a capital H. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. You see. So, his name is holy. Let me stop for just a minute. I remember in Mark chapter number 1, and I can't remember the verse. I think it's maybe 40-something. But when Jesus was on the earth, and an unclean spirit came around. And Jesus was, I believe this is in the story where Jesus was healing the maniac of Gadara. Y'all remember the story about the maniac of Gadara? And an unclean spirit came to talk to Jesus, and he said this. He said, I know thee who thou art. That's an unclean, evil spirit. What we might call a demon. He said to Jesus, he said, I know thee who thou art. Thou art the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. You know who lives up there in eternity? But brother, it's Jesus Christ. He's God himself in the flesh. He's God who became a man, came down to the earth like a chicken to scratch in the dirt. He died on the cross and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried and raised from the dead, and he has ascended back up to heaven. He lives in eternity. That's where you're going to go. That's where those things are. That's where those eternal things are. Now, we have something that is eternal down here. You know what it is? It's what you got in your hand. The King James Bible. See, I'm a King James Bible. We believe the King James Bible. You see, that's eternal. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse number 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. See, heaven, that third heaven up there, that place called eternity, that's a holy place. How are we going to get there since we're not holy? I mean, we can be as holy as we can, but we're still imperfect. How are we going to get there? Let me tell you something, folks. Listen carefully. God Almighty requires that you be perfectly righteous before God in order to go there. You must have the perfect righteousness of God to get into that place. You know how you get it? You get it by faith in Jesus Christ, and he makes you righteous. It's called imputed righteousness. Turn your Bibles, please. Go back over to the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 5. Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 5. Here he's talking about salvation. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Let's read verse number 3, 4, and 5. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now you want to get this thing down, brother, in verse number 5. You want to get that thing down. He says in verse number 5 of Romans chapter 4, but to him that worketh not. You cannot work in order to get to heaven. You'll never make it. But to him that worketh not. He says, but believeth on him. Don't believe in your church. Don't believe in the baptistry. Don't believe in how good you are. Don't believe in your self-righteousness. Get rid of all that and you believe on him, a person. Amen. Salvation is in a person, and that is Jesus Christ. It's not in somebody's church. It's not in how good you are. You'll never make it. You must put your faith in a person, a man, the man Christ Jesus. Verse number 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Man, you mean he justifies the ungodly? Well, that would be me. Would that be you? He justifies the ungodly. The ungodly can come to him, and that's all of us. And he will justify you. He will make you as if you had never sinned. He will forgive your sins. That's how you can get in. Look at the last phrase of verse number 5. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Look at this. His faith is counted for righteousness. That is how you can be perfectly righteous before God, is by faith in Jesus Christ. And he counts you righteous. He counts your faith for righteousness. Therefore, you have a perfect standing before God, even though you're not perfect in your own flesh. But you have a perfect standing before God. You know what you're like to God? You're just like His Son. You're just like His Son. You are a son of God, but you're like His Son, Jesus. His perfect righteousness, you see. There's another verse, but for the sake of time, I'll not go there, but let me just quote it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, it talks about the imputed righteousness of Christ. It says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Thank God every day for the righteousness that He gives to you. You see, if I were giving you my points, my sixth one would be this. He who inhabits eternity gives us eternal life. You come to Jesus and He will give you eternal life. That's what you got to have to get into eternity, you see. Set your affection on those things which are above up there. That's where you're going. You're only going to live down here for 60, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, who knows how many years. It may be short, it may be long. I mean, comparatively speaking, you see. But He gives you eternal life. I've got a bunch of verses, but I only have time for one or two. Maybe you look at this one. Turn in your Bibles, please, over towards the back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5, and let's look at verse number 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. You want to see about eternity? Eternal life? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11 says this. It says this. "This is the record." So He's going to give you the record. He's going to give you what God has said, what has been written down. This is the record. You go to the courthouse and they've got records there. What has happened and it's been written down. That's the record. Well, God has some records too. He has recorded what Jesus Christ has done and what you can have because of what Jesus did on the cross. He says, "This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." It is not in some church. This life is in His Son. That's the record. That's what God has written down. That's what God has recorded. That's how you can have eternal life, is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse number 12, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Verse number 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe." Can I just say one more thing? Not only is heaven eternal, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. There's another place that's eternal, that's hell. Hell. Anybody like to talk about hell? I don't like to talk about hell. But hell is eternal. When people go there, and there's going to be a lot of people going there, folks. There are going to be a lot of people going to a place called hell. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus said that He will say to a certain group of people, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." Some people say, "Well, I just don't know if there's fire in hell or not." Well, Jesus Christ didn't have any problem with that. He made hell. There's fire there. Believe what the Bible says. Five times in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48, here's what Jesus said. He said, "The fire that is not quenched." Five times. The fire that is not quenched. The fire. If you don't get saved and you don't have a sacrifice, you don't have an advocate, you don't have a Savior stand up for you, you have to go there. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 7, this Bible says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." But you know what? God tells us that we are to seek those things which are above, eternal things which are above. You know what's above? Number one, Jesus Christ is above. Number two, how many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think, how many of you folks have departed loved ones that have died? Their soul, that's where they are. They're up there in the third heaven, you see. If they were saved when they died, they went immediately to be with the Lord. Departed saints, your loved ones. Last scripture I'll have you look at. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. Almost to the back of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And verse number 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Let's stop right there. A lot of you folks, you've suffered a lot of pain. You probably got pain right now. I know some people right this moment who have pain. Many people have tears, trouble, heartaches, sorrow. Look what he says. And God himself, verse number 4, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse number 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So you see, the Bible tells us, don't fall in love with this stuff down here. It's just temporal. It's just here for a while. Eternity is a long time. Set your affection, what you love, on things above,